Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Paranormal Rabbit Hole. That's right, the paranormal show that brings you all the useful information that you need to get started down that rabbit hole. I'm your host, Hunter. Of course, you know that. You've known that the whole time. And this is, quite frankly, just one of the best shows out there. If you don't enjoy it, there's something wrong with you and me. There's something wrong with both of us. Got another great episode for you guys this week. And of course, listen to our back catalog. It is friggin' ever gosh darn green. Also, word of mouth helps out, guys. Pass this along to your paranormal friends. Anybody that likes paranormal podcasts will love this one because we have a little bit more, I have a little bit more of an exciting attitude towards it. I know a lot of these podcasts out there are kind of monotone or a little rough to get through, but I try to bring it up for you guys. I try to give you a lot of interesting stories, a lot of interesting facts. But just enough to get you started down that rabbit hole. You know, that's what this podcast is about, to get you started down that rabbit hole and do your research or to find help you find your favorite cryptid, ghost, alien, whatever it is. Usually it's cryptids, to be honest, just because for me, I think those are the most interesting. We can have a billion ghost stories, and we will, but I'd rather have on that point, there's going to be a certain point going into the future because I see the listeners that we have. And across all boards, it's pretty friggin' awesome. I love seeing it. I love seeing that you guys are enjoying the shows. Apparently, the Pale Walker show is just like the favorite one. That is the preferred show for right now. But it's awesome. And thank you guys so much for listening. Pass this along, word of mouth. And of course, you can go to Instagram at the Paranormal Rabbit Hole Podcast or Paranormal Rabbit Hole Podcast, all one word. Don't put a dot in there. It's just Paranormal Rabbit Hole Podcast. And also scroll down to the bottom, hit that 5-star review and walk away. That helps us move up the charts. Lets the guys in the podcasting realm know that you're listening and enjoying the episodes. And that's it. That's the preamble. Check out the evergreen content, guys. We got a lot of great episodes and a lot of great information. And I love it. I love doing these shows for you guys. I love giving you all these great stories and coming to you with all these, you know, interesting paranormal events. But tonight I wanted to talk about a story that I'd kind of mentioned, and it kind of spawned an episode from a few weeks back that I think has kind of gotten me some upset fans because I kind of went after Sasquatch. But as I say to all my Sasquatch fans, look, guys, I don't believe it. You can still believe it, but those were my issues with the Sasquatch evidence. And I apologize if you didn't like it, but that's, again, just opinion. Doesn't mean I'm right. Just means it's opinion, and it's mine. But this episode is about an experience, an abduction, and it's the Albert Oatsman abduction. And it's an interesting one because this guy just wanted to kind of go out and, you know, go camping and hunting and have, you know, a good night, a good time. You know, he wanted to. And I think he also kind of wanted to look for like gold a little bit too. There was a lot of gold in the mines where he was up in British Columbia, and he wanted to go up there, kind of see where it was, see what was going on, and it really just kind of was kind of a vacation for him. He went to a mine. And you know, heard stories about, you know, this guy owned a mine, he just left and never came back. But then some people also said that a Sasquatch had killed him, so this interested Albert, and he kind of talks about it. There's a story that you can read about his abduction on Sasquatch Alberta. And he tells kind of a story about how all of these events happened. So he really just, like I said, went up there to just kind of see what he can find in gold and just kind of relax and get back to being in the good old outdoors. You know, for himself, he wanted to pack up, get some stuff together and just head on out. And that's what he did. So, you know, he made his pack and everything, got up and had breakfast. And started in, he first kind of had to go to, now you got to imagine this happened back in the early 1900s. So this was more of a, you got to go to a local store, get your pack, together, go to a local store to get supplies. Then you head off to your destination and you start somewhere. These guys would start, they would, get off of a plane or a boat or a train or something and just kind of go into town, get their supplies ready. You don't want to bring supplies until you are at your destination where you're leaving from. Like if you're going into the mountains of Canada and you live in New York, you don't want to wait and get them in New York. You want to get all your provisions when you're there at your starting destination to going up into the mountains. You know, that's why they have these mountain in Nepal. They have all these little mountain villages that have Sherpa supplies and stuff like that. That's an interesting thing about, back in the days, there always used to be these trader shops. They'd have these little places that these guys could stop and, get their supplies before they headed off into the wilderness, and busted hump and did what they wanted to do. So Albert's going out and he goes out and he starts by getting his supplies up. He gets a native guide to kind of come in and help him get to a certain point in this area that he's looking for the gold in. Now, what he's intending to do is just kind of, have a fun time, be out in the wilderness, drink a few drinks, and look for gold. That's all he wants. Never did this man think that the events that are about to happen to him were going to happen to him. So, let's continue. So he's gotten an Indian guide to kind of lead him into this kind of avenue and into this forested area by boat. And he said, hey, I'm going to be back in this many days, be back to pick me up. Is that cool? Can you do that? And he was like, yeah, I can do that. So he told him, hey, don't worry. No problems. Just kind of be careful. Not a lot of safe places around here. You're out in the wilderness. Watch out. There are a lot of animals out here. So he says, thank you. Goes out and then comes upon his first, place where he's going to make camp at about 2 p.m., which is smart. You want to get it just before, out of the trail and, off into your campsite before dark, especially, depending on the time of year. Now, he started, and I mean, this guy's just consummate camper. He's, digging for water, got his sleeping bag out, got his, camp set up, boom, boom, boom. And he has, a little place to sit, a place by the fire, and then he's got his tent. So he has his first night, no problems, arrives just about, I think it was 7 in the morning. He arrived about 1,000 feet down was the river that he's been looking for to kind of pan in. And he says that he's, found a lovely spot. You can tell that there's a lot of boats that go in and out of here. And it's, it's a great place to just kind of camp, pan for gold, and set up his operation. So he kind of sets up and he starts to notice as he starts camping that overnight some things are happening. Like he hears noises, he notices he's being followed a few times, and then at night he goes to sleep and he wakes up and he's like, okay, well, this is strange. Looks like some stuff's been gone through. So a few things had been disturbed, but nothing missing. Nothing missing. He got up, kind of looked around, and was like, all right, well, somebody touched my stuff, but they didn't take it. So, okay, that's safe. Started roasting a grouse for his morning breakfast that he had gotten from the day before. Filled up his rifle with, filled his rifle with ammunition and filled his magazines with ammunition to get ready for the day. And, just to kind of have those ready to go in case he needed them. You want to set up those magazines early and, have them ready to go in your belt or on your little bandolero, you know, depending on how you hunted the back then. And then, you know, loaded shells into his coat pocket as well. And that's because he's, you know, he's out in the wilderness where there are a lot of large wolves, bears, a lot of things that want to hurt you. Also, he's going to be looking for food. He's going to be looking for, you know, pheasant, grouse, and all small game birds, maybe some rabbits, maybe a deer. I don't know. I doubt a deer because he would probably want to keep it light and small, something that he could have that's disposable and he could throw away from his camp and predatory animals wouldn't want to, you know, come around for. Of course, he would also either bury his food, which was kind of foolish at the same time back in the days because bears could still dig it up, or hang it from a tree. That's a little harder on bears, but, you know, you never know. Anyways, you know, he's still noticing that things are being gone through. He's waking up and finding that, you know, he would have stew and he would, you know, wake up and it would be kind of knocked over and the stew would be missing. Or he would notice that the way he arranged things when he got into his tent that night before, when he got back out of the tent, they'd be, you know, thrown alongside, you know, the river and everything. They'd be put out, you know, whatever was coming into camp was kind of tossing his stuff around everywhere and it wasn't how he left it. So he's like, okay, this is getting weird. My stuff's getting thrown around. It's taking my food. What is going on? So he falls asleep one night, you know, it's particularly cloudy night. Looked like it might rain. So he's like, it's going to be cold. Puts his rifle right beside him, gets it in his sleeping bag, intending to kind of watch out and see if he could catch who's coming into his camp. Not intending to fall asleep, but he does. So the next thing he knows is that he is awakened by something picking him up. So he states, what I just said. He was awakened by something picking him up. He was half asleep. And at first I did not remember where I was. And as I began to get my wits together, I remembered I was on this prospecting trip and in my sleeping bag. My first thought was it must be a snow slide, but there was no snow around my camp. Then it felt like I was tossed on horseback, but I could feel whoever it was walking. I tried to reason out what kind of animal this could be. I tried to get my sheath knife and cut my way out, but I was in an almost sitting position and the knife was under me. Ooh, I don't know what's going on with my throat all of a sudden. I could not get a hold of it, but the rifle was in front of me. And I had a good hold of that, and I had no intention of letting go of it. At times, I could feel my pack sack touching me, and I could feel the cans in the sack touching my back. And after what seemed like an hour, I could feel we were going up a steep hill. So now he's being carried uphill on, you know, he thinks horseback, but it's not. And he's tripping out. He's like, okay, everything's right here. I can't cut my way out because I can't reach my knife because it's behind me. What am I doing here? What do I do? Oh, and we're going uphill. So whatever's carrying me is super strong. It is, you know, really got some strength in there. So he's, you know, sitting there, sitting on his feet. And he is just not having a good time on this creature's back. So he says, it was very hot inside, and lucky for me, this fellow's hand was not big enough to close up the whole bag when he picked me up. There was a small opening at the top. Otherwise, I would have choked to death. Suddenly, I felt as though we were going downhill. I could feel myself touching the ground at times. And at one time, he dragged me behind him, and I could feel he was below me. Then he seemed to get on level ground. I was going in a trot for a long time. By this time, I had cramps in my legs and the pain was terrible. I was wishing he would get to his destination too soon, as he could not stand for this type of transportation any longer. So, finally, you know, after going back uphill again, he comes to a stop and gets let down. He could hear the cans rattling and he could hear some kind of chat or some kind of talking that he couldn't really understand. And he said the ground was sloping. So when whatever had hold of him let go of the sleeping bag, he rolled downhill and got his head out and got some fresh air and tried to straighten his legs out, but couldn't because the way he had been sitting, his legs become numb. He said it was still dark and he couldn't see what his captors looked like, and tried to kind of rub his legs, get some feeling into him so he could get up and get his shoes on and get out of there. Cause he said that he was, you know, he could hear talking, chattering and some kind of weird, like not talking, but you know, like some kind of weird communication back and forth. And he said he could hear that there was at least four of whatever it was around him, surrounding him. So it's dark. He's surrounded by, he's got these things around him, doesn't know what they are. And he says, I've never heard a Sasquatch before. The Indian said something about them, about the guy that had the mine. You know, he kind of thought, okay, well, this must be that kind of Sasquatch. Now, in my mind at first, I'd be thinking, you know, this is some kind of like, you know, primordial human or like, you know, maybe caveman or, you know, forest dwelling person that's, you know, been out in the woods his whole entire life. Not like, you know, this thing came from ancient times and has survived all this time, but as in, you know, it's an offshoot that is, you know, it's survived for centuries. Obviously there's multiples of, you know, of them, a population of them, a small population, maybe, who knows? Can't really say. but he, you know, it's like trying to get his circulation back. Finally, he began to kind of, as the sky kind of began to get lighter, as the sun began to rise, you could tell it was cloudy and he could kind of see the outline of them and was like, okay, well, here we go. Gets the circulation back in his leg, stands up and says, all right, what's up? What's up? What do you want from me? He said it was getting lighter now. He could see them clearly and he could make out forms of four people, too big and too little. They were covered with hair, no clothes on at all. He could now make out the mountains around him and said it was 4:25 a.m. He could see his watch clearly enough and he could see as clear. He could see the Bigfoot clearly. He said they looked like a family, old man, old lady, two young ones, boy and girl. The small ones seemed to be scared of him. The old lady did not seem too pleased, and the old man was waving his arms, telling them whatever he had in mind. They all left and kind of walked away. He had his compass and prospecting glass and his rifle and a few supplies and just kind of grabbed those and was like, okay, let's see if I can get out of here. You know, and he started to kind of move around, but they came back and were watching him. So he's like, okay, well, I'm going to position myself to where I can possibly get out, but I have shelter and, you know, bide my time and see what's going on. So he says, I moved my belongings up close to the west wall. There were two small cypress trees there, and this will do for shelter for the time being until I find out what these people want with me and how to get away from here. I emptied out my pack sack to see what I had left in line of food, and all my canned meat and vegetables were intact, and I had one can of coffee, also three small cans of milk, two packages of Rye King hardtack, and butter sealer half full of butter. So that's a little metal can full of butter. It's really cool. His prunes and macaroni were missing. Also his full box of shells for his rifle. He kept his knife sheath. He kind of kept that, you know, safe. But he said, I had no wood, also nothing around here that I looked that looked like wood. So he couldn't make a fire really. But he noticed that the two young ones were always watching him. So realistically, he kind of stays with this Bigfoot family and starts kind of, you know, watching them back and kind of getting closer to them. And he, you know, starts to over time just kind of worm his way into interacting with them. Now, he eventually got to where they were kind of letting him kind of be left alone. And he was like, you know, all right, I don't know how much longer I'm going to survive. I don't know if they intend on eating me. I don't know if they intend on just keeping me here. I don't know what's going on. So I don't want to wait around to see what's going to happen to me. I'm getting the heck out of here. So he kind of got up, got his stuff together, and headed towards the opening in the wall, you know, opening in that little, in the little thing that he was in the valley that he was in. It's not a valley. I'd have to draw it to describe it, but it's like a little inlet with high rocks on either side that kind of goes back into a cave-like thing. He gets up and kind of goes towards the exit, and the big old one, the old man, as he says, is kind of like getting up and saying, you know, Soka is pushing towards him, saying, back up, you know, in whatever language he spoke. So he's like, I don't want to shoot my way out because I don't think that it's going to work. I think it might make him mad. He says, I think it'll make him mad, and I only have 6 shells really with me. So, let's try this another way. So he thought, what do I do? Ah, there's that dude that saved himself from a pissed off bull with snuff. I'll blow snuff in their eyes. So he gave the young one his snuff box and said, you know, here, have some snuff. And he gave him some snuff, and he said, okay, well, the next day, the old lady came in with some twigs and stuff, and he said, okay, well, I'm going to give her some of this, and he gave her some of it. So his intention is he's giving them all snuff to try and get to the old man so that he can get the old man snuff and, like, maybe get it in his eyes or in his nose and make him sneeze. But what happens is when he finally gets the old man gets a bunch of it and then starts getting sick. You know, trust me right now when I say there is a whole backstory, like a long story that he tells. But he gives him snuff and he gets sick, and this is how this man gets out of there. So, and it's not just that, it's snuff and coffee. I mean, how can you go wrong with coffee though? But these guys have never had coffee, so that's going to tear up their guts. But you know, it's snuff and coffee. Snuff and coffee. Two things that people used to use to get the F up in the morning is the thing that makes Bigfoot sick. So he gives him a pinch of snuff and some of the coffee that he's drinking. And they get sick and just start gagging and getting sick and throwing up. And he grabs his stuff, grabs his you know, rifle, and runs downhill. I mean, he just takes off. I mean, and he said that this thing emptied the snuff into its mouth. The adult, the male, the old man did, you know, so he's, you know, but he runs the heck out of here. He runs back downhill. And I think at some point he's like, okay, I got to get out of here. If I remember correctly, he does get out of there, and just they follow him down a little bit, but he gets out of there and just takes off and tells this guy, he goes, I got lost, guys. I nothing happened. I got lost. Don't worry about it. He did not want, until he told this story down the line later in the years, he did not want to tell anybody. He's like, I don't want to tell anybody I was kidnapped by Bigfoot. They're going to think I'm freaking crazy. What, are you out of your damn mind? And I understand that. I get that. Like, if you see something like that and you're kidnapped by Bigfoot and, like, you have to live with them for a few days, you got Bigfoot as a roommate for a few days, I could see why you'd be like, nobody's going to believe me. I don't want to tell anybody. So what do I do? You know, you're very much like, ah, this is going to be great. I can't wait to tell the guys. I can't tell the guys. They won't freaking believe me. Nobody's going to believe me that Bigfoot kidnapped me and took me back to his family, was probably going to eat me. Let's be honest. Unless he thought I was his long lost brother and he's just like, every time I bring family home, it's a big problem. But every time you bring family home, like he's complaining to it. Because he said that the old man and the old lady were having a conversation. That old lady wasn't too happy that he was there. It's like, oh, so my friends aren't allowed, but your friends are. And I can just imagine Bigfoot over there throwing his arms up like he's Homer Simpson, like throwing a fit. I can honestly see it. I can see that. I can see Bigfoot being like that married grouchy guy, like Married with Children, you know, like Al Bundy. That entire stick, I could see Bigfoot doing that, to be honest. That seems more likely to me than Woodnox. He's like throwing his hands up like, oh, your sister comes over all the time, but my friends come over and it's a big problem. Can't have any friends. Oh, no. Like, you know, that's Bigfoot. I don't know. But here's the thing. This guy gets kidnapped by Bigfoot in his sleeping bag, carried through the forest, sometimes on the ground, being drugged behind Bigfoot. And you're like, you got to think, that hurt. And you know that hurt. Like rocks, sticks, whatever he drugged this man through probably hurt. If he, you know, if this really happened, this man is in pain. He is hurting badly. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to tell anybody I got kidnapped by Bigfoot because nobody's going to believe me. No one knows who's going to believe you. Nobody's going to believe you. There's no way possible that somebody's going to go, yep, I believe you were kidnapped by, they're going to go, this dude is crazy. He's out of his mind. Kidnapped by Bigfoot. Oh, and Bigfoot's over there throwing his hands up. If you tell somebody that story, exactly how he tells it, of like Bigfoot's like getting into it with his wife, and he's like, Bigfoot's got problems like us, right, guys? Nobody's going to believe you. They're going to think you made it up. I'm like, oh my God, he was just staying over at a friend's house and doesn't want to admit it. Doesn't want to admit that he had the awkwardness of watching his friend and his friend's wife argue about something or other. That's probably what I'd be like, oh my God, he just went over to his buddy Bob's house and Bob and his wife are in a mood. You know, they always argue. So that's what I see. But in reality, if you think about it, it's a very interesting story and a very plausible story too. And I know Bigfoot people are like, oh, plausible. That's funny coming from, look, like I said, I support your right to believe in Bigfoot. I just have an issue with some of your evidence. Now, that being said, it's a very plausible story. I do think that that could happen to someone. Someone's out in the middle of nowhere in the deep forest camping, and Bigfoot shows up and says, hey, he looks like a pig in a blanket. I'm going to take him home and show the wife. This is amazing. Look, it's a little hairless Bigfoot, guys. You got to check this out. That's probably what happened. Maybe that's what happened. Like Bigfoot's like, no, we got to adopt him. He's hairless. Look at him. This idiot's wearing freaking clothes to stay warm. He needs our help. That's what Bigfoot's doing. He's like, you kidding me? We need to help this guy. But honestly, the it's a plausible story. I would be freaked out to tell it too. But boys and girls, I think that this man was kidnapped by Bigfoot, or at least some kind of forest dwelling human. Some like a wild man. Who knows? You never know. But that's it for this episode of the Paranormal Rabbit Hole, boys and girls. I hope you liked it. I hope you liked this topic. And I hope you go check it out. There's a longer story to go in and read. And I want you guys to check it out. But yeah, that's it for this episode. I hope you guys loved it. And of course, thank you for going down this Paranormal Rabbit Hole with me. We appreciate it. And we love you guys. Thank you for listening. Good night.